The world's media is descending on Iowa as Xi Jinping, the vice president expected to become the next president of China, pays a visit to Muscatine, Iowa, population 23,000, the farm town Mr. Xi first visited on an agricultural trade mission in 1985. China is the world's largest agricultural producer and consumer, and U.S. agricultural exports to China have surged in the past few years, with many states benefiting, but especially Iowa. So what is China buying from the Hawkeye State? Let's check in with Virgil Schmidt. He's a field agronomist at Iowa State University and a Muscatine native. Virgil, welcome.
My pleasure to be here.
People pretty excited about Mr. Xi's visit?
Extremely so. This is his second time actually in Muscatine. He was a part of led a delegation in 1985 to learn about swine production. And so when he came back to the United States, he said he wanted to come back and renew some old ties, which I think speaks very highly of the vice president and his opinion of us here in Iowa.
Well, as you said, he'd come to study hog production, but we know that a big export of Iowa is corn. I mean, I mentioned it's the Hawkeye State, but it's also called the Corn State. So give us a little more of the shopping list. What is China buying from Iowa?
Well, China buys about $7 billion, and that's with a B, dollars worth of our products each year. We export about a third of the products that we produce here, and of that, China consumes about 15% of that. So from a value standpoint, China is our largest customer. Yeah. Of the $7 billion that China purchases from Iowa, about half of that is in soybeans, about a fourth of that is in corn, and then the other fourth is split between pork products and beef products. And of course, for us here in Iowa, we are the number one corn and soybean and pork producing state in the country. And so, they are really getting to our strengths here.
Well, and increasingly so in the last couple of years, I understand that it's the corn purchases in particular from the U.S. in general have really increased.
Yeah, that is correct. The Chinese people are becoming more affluent. They are, demanding more and better quality products, and we are able to supply those to them.
Yeah, I understand. A 50% increase in China corn purchases from the U.S. since 2010. That's a huge increase. And how are Iowa farmers responding? I mean, are they planting more corn, more soy?
They are planting a little bit more. Farmers will basically respond to the market, and so they change what they do as what the Chinese purchases influence the market in that way. And so with the higher corn and soybean prices, farmers have been planting more of that, basically at the expense of some of the hay ground and some pasture ground, and also some land that's been in a conservation program called the Conservation Reserve Program, or CRP. In some of the other states that are maybe a little bit more marginal in terms of corn and soybean production, that maybe have historically emphasized, say, wheat or cotton or another crop, what we're seeing in those states is that more and more acres are being diverted into corn and soybean production as the markets have surged.
Well, a couple questions. First of all, one of your colleagues at Iowa State, agricultural economist Chad Hart, says farmers really like this because prices go up as demand goes up. But as prices go up and farmers in Iowa make more because China is demanding more, doesn't that mean that people here in the U.S., there's less supply for them because it's going to China. So aren't Americans paying a little bit more then for their corn?
They are, but very little more. For instance, if we take a look at the value of the corn in a box of cornflakes, that probably translates to about 1 cent as our markets have gone up, because the vast majority of the cost in that box of cornflakes is in the processing and packaging and shipping and so forth and so on. So it has had some influence on the food market, but very little.
Well, Virgil, do people in the state worry about this becoming a bubble that will collapse? You mentioned the increased demand from China for corn, and we're reading in Forbes.com that since the Cultural Revolution, over the past 30 years, after China effectively banned collective farming, They've now been taking strides to remove a bias against agriculture and to put in measures that benefit the farm economy, that they're acutely aware of a growing wealth gap between the people in the cities and the people in rural populations. And they're going to do some things, you know, make investments in rural infrastructure and institute subsidies and direct payments to farmers to help their local farmers more. And Forbes.com says, you know, this idea of China importing farm products from the U.S. could be a casualty of that. Do people there worry about this big export bubble bursting?
Well, I think you always worry about a market disappearing. But I think one of the things that we do also need to remember is that China only does have so much land. And when you talk about the production of food and fiber, those are basically land-based activities. And so if people, you know, shift their production from one crop to another, then demand in one crop might decrease, but we would expect that that would be offset by an increase in demand in other areas. And so I think people would expect that maybe the mix of trading that we do may change, but assuming that we stay on good terms with the Chinese, I think most people believe that we are going to have a fairly healthy long-term relationship with them.
Virgil Smit, he's the field agronomist at Iowa State University, talking to us about that state's trade relation with China. As China's vice president, as we said, makes his way to tiny Muscatine, Iowa, where he visited years ago. Virgil, what are people planning on doing? Are there going to be events, parades, you know, dress up a little more? What does it mean that he's coming?
From what I can tell, I think it's going to be really a fairly low-key event as far as the city is concerned. I mean, everybody is very excited about that. But at the same time, you know, we remember the Chinese protocol of a great deal of respect and so forth. And so I think, you know, in the presence of the vice president, it's going to be, I think, a fairly low-key event, not a lot of parades and cheering or anything like that.
But a big deal for the state when it comes to trade relations.
Tremendously big deal, and a tremendously big deal for us here in eastern Iowa.
Virgil, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.